Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Ephesians chapter 6. Again, thank you to our staff. Did it just go out or did I punch something? No, hang on. Hello? Try it now. Nope, my fault. When I left a while ago, I muted it because I don't trust. Yeah, Brother Feaser knows what I mean. I trust him. Sort of. I know I'd get out there and I'd get in a conversation with somebody and it would be playing in here and you guys would be listening to it when I'm down the hall somewhere. So I get nervous. Continue our series tonight on the Christian charge. Again, the whole armor of God. I was a little long-winded this morning, especially in the first service, so tonight we'll try to get you out here on time. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, Lord, this ministry and the church and just the blessing of being a part of such a great family. I pray tonight as we study again your word and being a soldier, may you influence us by your Spirit and encourage us and strengthen us to stand. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So here again we have Paul uses a vivid word picture to illustrate the Christian life. He's talking about warfare and being a soldier. He uses other illustrations throughout the New Testament, such as being in a race, or he uses the illustration about bearing fruit. But here again, we have this metaphor, this illustration for us, this analogy to help us, again, understand the Christian life and the battle that we face as a Christian. We know, again, that Paul is in prison. He's chained to a Roman soldier. He's under house arrest. He's in bonds. Verse 20 told you that. He said, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. And though he's chained to a soldier, and maybe he's looking at that Roman soldier as he's writing this and helping with the illustration, there's no doubt because of his learning and his understanding of the Old Testament, he had to be thinking about Joshua meeting the captain of the Lord of Hosts. Imagine that when Joshua, they were going to conquer Jericho, and there right before they were to conquer Jericho, he saw a man, he saw a soldier, and he approached the soldier who had his sword drawn, and he said, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" Joshua asked that soldier, and the soldier said to him, "I am captain of the Lord of Hosts." It was Jesus. It was the theophany in the Old Testament. The Bible says Joshua fell down and worshipped him. And then the captain, Lord of Hosts, Jesus, said to him, "Take your shoes off your feet. You're standing on holy ground." And Joshua got to meet the captain of the Lord of Hosts. And so no doubt in my mind, I think that Paul is drawing from that analogy all the way back there with the captain, Lord of Hosts, and then again in view of this Roman soldier that he's changed to. Once saved, once you accept Christ as your Savior, you enter the Lord's army. And we sang last Wednesday night, and you know, I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery for the kids. We enter the Lord's army. And there's a battle that takes place. If you as a Christian make a conscious effort to walk with the Lord, and you make an effort and you strive to become more like Jesus, there is absolutely going to be a battle take place in your life. The devil hates that. The devil hates for a Christian to actually try to practice what's being preached and what's being read in the Bible. If you try to actually apply the word, not just read it, but if you try to apply it, the devil's going to be on your case. And you're going to be in a battle. And we're in a battle today. We know that. Look around us. There is no doubt the devil's a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he hates the Christian. He hates this church. Do anything he can destroy it. We know from 1 Timothy 6:12, I'll just read you one verse tonight. Fight the good fight of faith. And we could turn to other scriptures that Paul uses that analogy about being in a warfare and enduring hardness as a good soldier, fighting that good fight of faith. In verse 10, here in chapter 6, we understand and we know if we are to fight this fight, we must be strong in the Lord. And in other words, it should be the strength of the Lord that propels us, that it helps us, that strengthens us. We cannot win this battle on our own. We cannot win this battle in our own strength. We must be prayed up. We must be cleaned up. We, again, must be walking with the Lord. And so, verse 11, we have Paul again challenges us to put on the whole armor of God. I'm thankful the Lord has not left us defenseless. He's given us the tools we need for the battle. In verse 12, understand that it's not an ordinary battle. It's not a battle against flesh and blood. It's not someone that I can just walk up to and, you know, and take them out. No, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle, one that we cannot see, but one that is absolutely, absolutely factually taking place. It's just as real as if it was physical. And it's all around us, and it happens, and it's a part of our everyday life, this battle taking place as a Christian. Again, it's a reminder there in verse 12 that Satan is highly, highly organized. He is not all-knowing. He is not all-powerful. But he is highly organized. And he certainly knows a lot about you. He certainly is keeping a record. And so he knows your weak points. He knows that besetting sin or those besetting sins that may throw you off track. And he's going to constantly bombard you and throw his fiery darts at you. And his wiles means he's going to try to deceive you and trick you and do everything he can to destroy you. And that's why we must put on the armor of God. It's not an ordinary battle. Verse 13 that we studied last week, understand that we must stand in the evil day. Verse 13, we must stand in the evil day. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand again in that evil day. That evil day is any day. That day might be today. A day in which you face an unusual trial. A day in which you may face an unusual test. Something maybe out of the ordinary. And we need to be ready for that. We mentioned again that we ought to be proactive. This armor is meant to be put on before the battle. So many times we wait till we're in the middle of the battle, and then we call 911. We call the Lord. We call upon Him for help. And certainly I'm thankful that He still helps us, and He's there for us. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. He never fails us. But we ought to be ready prior to. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Prior to, early in his life, may we put on the whole armor of God. Here in verse 14, we have for the third time, Paul saying, stand, stand. Again, if the Bible mentions it once, it's important. If it mentions it twice, it's really important. But now it's three times. Three times, stand. Stand therefore, having understand that you need the strength of the Lord, and having understood that the devil is out there to get you, and this is a spiritual battle, and we understand there's going to be a day, there's going to be a day in our life when we are tested, that we are deterred, and we need the Lord, put on, stand, and put on the whole armor of God. For the third time again, we are told to stand. We must take a firm position in the battle. Take a firm position. I'm telling you, today more than ever, we need to take a stand, a firm position. You need to know what you believe and why. And that, we'll go through that a little bit, but let me just say from the offset, you need to know truth. And as you know truth, it will enable you to stand. I am firmly planted. I am firmly planted in the truth that I know, and therefore I'm not going to be persuaded. I'm not going to waver. We need to stand in this day. Stand. There's some things going on in our society in which Christians ought to stand. Amen. I know this crowd, so I'm preaching to the choir mostly, and there's some watching online, but I am telling you, more than ever today, we need to be firmly planted. You need to know what you believe and why. You need to be able to explain the truths of the Word of God to a certain degree. You need to be able to explain why you believe that life begins at conception and why abortion is murder. You need to be able to explain why God made everyone special. And God determined whether you'd be born female or male. And God didn't make no junk. God didn't get it wrong. You need to be able to explain these things and stand on these truths of the Word of God. If we are to stand, we must have the right equipment. If we are to stand, if we are to win the battle, we need to have the right equipment. And here he goes through the list. I'm just going to cover one of those tonight, and it's the belt of truth. Look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. This belt or this girdle was very important to the Roman soldier. Most Roman soldiers wore, they wore tunics. There was a loose flowing type robe, right? And so when they went to battle, when they went to fight, they would draw up that robe. They would draw up that tunic, and they would tuck it in to the belt. And the Bible's describing as we should put on the belt of truth. Understanding that if they left it, this tunic just sticking out, that it would catch on everything. It would get in the way. In the New Testament, for instance, we know that, or even in the Old Testament, a lot of men wore long, clothes, almost like dresses, per se. And then when they went to the field, they would pick them up and draw them up, right? And then battle is the same thing. They're putting that belt on to tuck in and to get their robe, their tunic out of the way. This belt was it was large enough to cover the vital organs too that are down there in your gut, right? And this belt also was intended to hang, and it attached other pieces of the armor attached to it. So even the breastplate would attach to this belt, right? And any armor they put down below that was attached to the belt. Everything was attached to the belt. The belt was important. It's important. My belt's important in this day and age. The belt I have on, it's important that I have a belt on. Right? I have lots of stories to tell about belts in this church, about people making fun of my belts, buying me belts years ago. And I'll refrain for lack of time. But this belt on the Roman soldier was so very, very vital. I know it doesn't look like it, but I used to lift weights. This belt that they wore would be similar to what you think about when you think about a weightlifter's belt. Very thick leather, and maybe on the leather they would sew in, metal, or they would sew other things into it, bones, things that would help protect it from just being sliced. Same thing with their breastplate. If it wasn't metal, which most of them weren't, their breastplate of righteousness, that breastplate would have metal sewn into it and bones and things that way when they got hit by a sword or whatever, it would give them protection. And so this belt was thick. So when I used to lift weights, that belt was so important to keep you from hurting your back. Some of you work in industry where you have to wear a belt. Maybe you work in a warehouse or I've seen many, even some of the Amazon drivers, and many of these are, some of them are wearing these belts as they pick stuff up a lot. And it helps protect their back. When I was lifting weights, and I was in a, especially if I was going to a meet, I mean, I would want that belt just as tight as it could. Literally, I'd have guys, I would lay on the floor and have my dad put his foot on that thing and just jerk it as far as possible and get that thing as far down as possible and then close it. Not though, I could still breathe. But the tighter it was, just the more everything was held in. Just everything's held in. Everything's protected. It strengthened me. You could lift more with a very tight weight belt than you can without one. It strengthened him. It strengthened the soldier. It helped his body. It held in place the other pieces of armor. It was a vital piece of equipment. Can I tell you that in a spiritual battle, the belt of truth is vital. In the spiritual battle we face, the belt of truth is so very important. Jesus said in John 17, "Thy word is truth." Let's turn there real quick. John 17:17. We think about Jesus' prayer. John 17:17. He's praying to the Lord. He's praying to his Father. And he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Look at verse 16. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." I want you to see that. Thy word is truth. I don't think there's most of our crowd tonight, you would know that the word of God is referred to as the truth. This is the truth. From cover to cover, from beginning to end, it's the inspired, inerrant word of God. I'm thankful I hold in my hand a Bible that can be depended upon, can be trusted. I believe the King James Bible to be the inspired, inerrant word of God in the English language. I believe it to be the best translation. I believe it to be the most honest translation. The word of God is the truth. Sincerity and truthfulness are subjected to God's word. What do I mean by that? It means that it doesn't matter what you may say or what I may say, or whether I sincerely hold something to be truthful. And I may sincerely hold it to be the right truth. But I could be sincerely wrong. I could be sincerely wrong. And I'm sincerely wrong when it doesn't line up with this. This is truth. This is truth. It doesn't matter what subject. It doesn't matter what subject. The Bible is the truth. When it comes to abortion, when it comes to transgender, when it comes to morals, when it comes to laws, when it comes to how to raise our family, when it comes to how to do our finances, all those things the Bible gives us, the guide that it is, the light that it is for us, a map, a GPS for our life, a direction for life, all of those things, all that's truth. And anyone who speaks contrary to that is not telling the truth. Right? So when they speak against the word of God, they're speaking against definite truth. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's the truth. Doesn't matter what a judge says or what the Supreme Court decides. Doesn't matter what some governor decides or whatever the case is in our land. Doesn't matter what some school teaches, or some professor in some college, or whatever that is, who might teach something contrary to the word. When they teach it, and they may sincerely think they're correct, and they may sincerely think they're teaching truth, but they can be sincerely wrong when it doesn't match up to this. So many today, in fact, I'm just someone kind of close here recently, I found out, that had gone to college and now claims to be an atheist. Someone who was raised in church. And I'm telling you, there are the secular colleges of this world. And you need to make sure, members, when family, when you send your kids off to a secular school, which is not wrong, but when you send them off to Texas A&M and you send them off to, you know, wherever, just get ready. There are teachers and professors who are not teaching truth. They're teaching contrary to this, and they're going to do everything they can to get your young person to be tossed to and fro. And that young person, whomever they may be, needs to learn to stand. I shouldn't have used that one. Now I'm going to get emails. Texas A&M. You already emailing me? Okay. Let me pick on another college. Nothing comes to mind. I've heard back from those who've attended North Texas. I've heard from students from there. I've heard students who've attended Texas Christian University, which is, should have Christian knocked off of their name. I've heard from our students who've attended many of the colleges here and also in Austin and other places. And every time we find there are liberal professors, there are professors who are teaching them contrary to Scripture and influencing them in that way. And they may sincerely think they're right, but they're sincerely wrong. And you need to help your young person understand that. I'm thankful for a good youth pastor, Brother Moore and Brother Latta before him, and thankful for the influence of our church in the individual's life of parents. You got to take that number one role in that area. I don't know how I got off on all that, but the truth is sincere. It could be sincere. They may think they're sincere in it, but it's not truth unless it's, if it's contrary to the Word of God, it's not truth. Truth. Thy word is truth. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, the word, the truth, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I take the word of God. I learn from it. I've been taught it in Sunday school, and I've been taught it in children's church, and even taught it through music by the cooks, you know, Sunday afternoon. I've been taught it by master clubs on Wednesday night, and as I'm being raised in church and being raised by my parents who are doing devotions with me and talking about the Lord with me, I'm coming to that age in which I'm being influenced by others, but I have the word in my heart. It's been planted there. Now, later on, we're going to talk about the offensive weapon, the sword, which is the word of God. And yes, that sword is so we can literally quote scripture to Satan and in order to defeat him. But when we talk about truth, in order for us to stand, we need to know the truth. In order that when the wiles of the devil come against us, and when others try to influence us, and we have that truth in our hearts. Psalm 51, verse 6 says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Truth in the inward parts. The word of God, the truth. It's important that it be studied, and it's essential to know the truth in order that we might stand against the wiles of the devil. By the way, not just know it, but practice it. And practice it. By the way, you only believe what you really you only believe what you practice. Apply it. Application. We hold the truth in our hearts. And what's in the well? What's in the well? What's in the bottom of that well will come up in a bucket of speech. And as you hide God's word in your heart, as you learn the truths from God's word, and the Holy Spirit will enable you to bring that up, and we'll talk about that down the road, but the sword of the Spirit in order to defeat Satan, our offensive weapon. The word is truth. The word is truth. But can I remind you tonight that the word also has power? Okay? All right, now we know we have the Holy Spirit that empowers us, enables us as we go into battle, but do you realize the word of God has power? I mean, without the Holy Spirit, this word is powerful. And I know that sounded kind of weird maybe to you. The word has power in and of itself. It's like dynamite, the Bible says, the Greek word. It's like dynamite. No other book has that. You can read. I've read some great books. When I was growing up, I enjoyed reading. I've read nearly every Louis L'Amour book there is. Fiction book. I enjoyed. He wrote over 100 of them, and I've read them all, just about. I've read many other good books, some of the classics, and enjoy them. And from many of them, I get inspired. But none of those books have power. They don't have power. They may influence me to a degree, but they don't have the power to have me perform, to do what it says. You ever watched a movie and got all inspired and thought, well, I'm going to do this, this, and this? Some of those movies that have been put out lately, those Christian movies, especially some of those men, whatever. I can't remember one of them right now off the top of my head. And boy, you think, oh, I'm going to change, I'm going to do that, and you find in 2 or 3 days, eh. Movies can inspire. The Word of God can change your life. This is a life-changing book. It has the power to change your life. And I'm thankful the Holy Spirit's there too, empowering us and strengthening us. And as we face the battle, it's essential to have the Word of God in our hearts. And as we study it, it comes up and becomes a part of our vocabulary. But you got to have it in the well first to study it, memorize it, and so forth. The Word is truth, but it also has power to enable us to practice it. The Word is alive. So, practically, 1 Peter 1:13 says, gird up the loins of your mind. So we are putting on this belt of truth, and we ought to gird up the loins of our mind, that truth that comes into our heart to protect us, to empower us, and then to, if you would, help us when it comes to our thoughts. And those thoughts that might enter our hearts and enter our minds, we need our minds girt about with truth. In other words, our minds girt about with the Word of God. By the way, the Bible describes itself as having the ability to transform your mind. You shall be renewed by the transformation of your mind, right? By the Word of God. The Word, the truth, enables us, empowers us, sustains us. Ephesians 4:14 says that there are so many who are tossed to and fro and fell to read and apply the Word of God. I've recovered that already, but there's so many who are being tossed to and fro because they don't have the truth in their heart. We need that truth in our heart. All of us are prone to selfishness. All of us are prone, by the way, all of us are prone, we're talking about not only having the truth, but also speaking the truth. Right? So this is the belt, not just having the truth, but as we have the truth, speaking the truth. So all of us are prone to exaggeration when we speak. Hello? Nobody? We're not careful, we begin to exaggerate. I've been guilty of that. And I catch myself and say, better be careful. Better be careful. All of us are prone to say things that are dishonest. To say small or maybe big things that are dishonest. All of us are prone to that if we're not careful. All of us are prone to lie. I'll just come out and say it. If there's no truth, and if the truth isn't embedded in us, if it's not just stuck in our crawl, we're not careful, what comes out of our mouth will be something that is not truth. So, we ought to put on truth. We ought to put on truth. And I also want to point out that it says put on the whole armor of God. What does that mean? It means that you are responsible to put it on. That you have a choice. That it's a conscious decision to put it on. And you make that choice. And so in the morning, you're going to get up on Monday morning and you're tired and it's been a long day today or whatever the case. Maybe you're not. Maybe you got a good nap this afternoon and maybe you're ready to go Monday morning. But Monday mornings for preachers are maybe sometimes pretty tough. I get all amped up on Sunday and then Monday morning. And you'll make a decision in the morning whether to, take in truth or not take it in. And you have to make that conscious decision to put on the belt of truth. Tomorrow, at some point, you may have to make a decision or say, or tell somebody something, and you may find yourself in a position where you could exaggerate or say something that wouldn't be quite honest, and you're going to have to decide whether to put on the belt of truth. We must be sure to put on the belt. I like this one. We must be sure the belt is on right, that it's tight, that it's in place in order for the rest of the armor to hang on it. Because if it's loose and it's not where it ought to be, then that's going to throw the breastplate off a little bit. It's going to throw the other armor off a little bit. And all of a sudden, the devil has a place to get in. So, preacher, you're carrying that. No, that's the analogy here. That these armor needs to be on and it needs to be put on. It needs to be a conscious decision by you to put it on, and it needs to be put on right. Because the truth belt affects all the other armament. Get this now. The belt of truth affects the other armament. Not the helmet per se, but it affects it. The armor is to be put on in preparation for the battle. Learn the truth as found in the Word. Learn the truth as is found in the life of Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." We learn truth in the written Word. We learn truth from the Word, Jesus Christ Himself. Learn the truth that is found in the gospel of truth, and take a stand. I want to go back real quick and end it with this, that belt affects everything else. If the truth that you, if your truth belt is not on correctly, then it will affect your breastplate of righteousness, because the breastplate of righteousness is living out the truth. Everybody see that? In other words, if my truth is skewed, if it's not right, then it will affect my application of the truth. Righteous, my breastplate of righteousness is right living. It's living right. It's applying the truth, if you would. So we need to have that truth. We need to be studying the truth in order that we might live the truth. So important. Stand in this day. Let's all stand. I love all.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.